you have your Bibles with you, I want to look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I want to look at verses 25 to 32 of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 32. Please hear this public reading of God's Word. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So I want to talk about the sin of anxiety today, as we come to our time of confession. Jesus, I think it's amazing how he emphasizes three separate occasions in 25, 31, and 34. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious in verse 25. Verse 31, he says, therefore, do not be anxious. And again in 34, therefore, do not be anxious. He emphasizes it three times for us not to be anxious. So anxiety is clearly a sin. Jerry Bridges would call anxiety a respectable sin, but it is certainly a sin, and he gives two reasons for why it is a sin. It is a sin, number one, because anxiety is a distrust of God. Anxiety is a distrust of God. And number two, anxiety is sin because it is a lack of acceptance of God's providence in our lives. God's providence may be simply defined as God's orchestrating all circumstances and events in his universe for his glory and the good of his people. So anxiety is sin because it's distrust of God and it's a lack of acceptance of God's providence. But not only is anxiety a sin, but it tends to lead to many other sins. And here's John Piper to help illustrate this point. Stop for a moment and think how many different sinful actions and attitudes come from anxiety. Anxiety about finances can give rise to coveting and greed and hoarding and stealing. Anxiety about succeeding at some task can make you irritable and abrupt. Anxiety about relationships can make you withdrawn and indifferent and uncaring about other people. Anxiety about how someone will respond to you can make you cover over the truth and lie about things. So if anxiety could be conquered, a lot of sins would be overcome. So as we come to our time of confession, we could ask ourselves, have we dealt with anxiety this week? Have we been anxious this week? And has anxiety in our life given rise to other sins like irritability or covetousness or greed? Or has anxiety caused us to be uncaring or indifferent this week? So in this passage, Jesus tells us on the negative side, do not be anxious, over and over. But on the positive side, he tells us several things. He says to consider the lilies of the field in verse 28. And then in verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? He's arguing from the lesser to the greater. If he cares for these birds, how much more does he care for you and me? I was listening to Alistair Begg preach on anxiety, and he was going through this passage of Scripture, and in his talk, he quoted from a children's song that I found to be very powerful, this lyric from this children's song. And this children's song, there are two birds are talking to each other in this children's song, and part of the song goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. So he's saying, why are human beings so anxious and worried all the time? And the sparrow responds to the robin. Said the sparrow to the robin, oh, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. The only logical sense out of this is they must not have a heavenly Father who cares for them, such as cares for you and me. So why are we running around anxious and worried when we have a heavenly Father who cares for you and me? Have we lost sight of God's fatherly care for us this week? Matthew Henry, in his commentary on Matthew 6, says this: "Birds are careless for tomorrow, and being so, they live the happiest lives of all creatures. They sing among the branches, and to the best of their power, they praise their Creator. If we were, by faith, as unconcerned about tomorrow as they are, we should sing as cheerfully as they do. For it is worldly care that mars our happiness and dampens our joy and silences our praise as much as anything." So have we been inordinately concerned about the things of this world this week? Maybe it has been our finances or our career or school or our car or our house or apartment or our future. Have we been inordinately concerned about the things of this world? Another positive thing that Jesus emphasizes in this text is in verse 33. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Charles Spurgeon says, "Let your deepest, most intense, and most thorough care be exercised in this direction. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. From your earliest waking thoughts till you fall asleep at night, let your care go in this direction: to serve God, to live for God, and to glorify God." So have we sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness this week? But I want us to come back to the sin of anxiety before we go to the Lord in prayer. And I want us to think about what is the root cause of anxiety. And I think Jesus helps us in verse 30 when he says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" John Piper says, in other words, Jesus says that the root of anxiety is lack of faith in our Heavenly Father. As unbelief gets the upper hand in our hearts, one of the results is anxiety. So it's lack of faith. It's unbelief is the root cause of anxiety. And I want to quote from an article from Desiring God. It says this: "Even though I'd still vehemently defend God's absolute sovereignty, my actions often reveal an unbelief that speaks louder than my words. When my mind is consumed with my bank account, I'm believing that money provides my security rather than my savior. When I yell at my children for leaving a mess I need to clean, I'm believing that my comfort comes from an orderly house rather than from the God of all comfort. When I become despondent over an uncertain future and lack of stability, I'm failing to believe that I am merely a pilgrim and this is not my home. Every hour that goes by that I fail to pray and cry out to God is an hour that I'm telling him, 'It's okay, I got this.' And then I hypocritically wonder how I got here." So lastly, how do we fight anxiety? John Piper says we deal with anxiety by battling unbelief, and we do that primarily in two ways. Number one, we run to the throne of grace and we plead with God. We say, "Lord, help my unbelief." We cast our cares on him, knowing that he cares for us. So we plead with God at the throne of grace. And secondly, we meditate on God's word. Specifically, we meditate on the precious promises of God in Scripture. And here's one example that John Piper uses. "When I am anxious about some risky new venture or meeting, I battle unbelief with the promise from Isaiah 41:10, which says, 'Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand.'" And as I read that, I was reminded of John Patton, the missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. He took the gospel to cannibals in the 1850s. And if you've read his autobiography, you know that for the first 4 years there, his life was threatened multiple times, and he faced death numerous occasions. Probably the most dangerous time was when literally hundreds of the natives were hunting him down to try to kill him. And he ran off in the bush, and he hid in a tree. Certainly a time where you would expect him to be anxious. And yet here's what John Patton says in his own words: "I climbed into the tree and was left there alone in the bush. The hours I spent there live all before me as if it were but of yesterday. I heard the frequent discharging of muskets and the yells of the savages, yet I sat there among the branches as safe as in the arms of Jesus. Never in all my sorrows did my Lord draw nearer to me and speak more soothingly in my soul than when the moonlight flickered among those chestnut leaves and the night air played on my throbbing brow as I told all my heart to Jesus. Alone, yet not alone. If it be to glorify my God, I will not grudge to spend many nights alone in such a tree. to feel again my Savior's spiritual presence, to enjoy his consoling fellowship. If thus thrown back upon your own soul, alone, all alone, in the midnight, in the bush, in the very embrace of death itself, have you a friend that will not fail you then? And if we are in Christ today, we can answer John Patton with an emphatic, yes, we have such a friend. Jesus has promised in Matthew 28, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I will give you a few moments to pray silently, and then I'll close this in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can gather here every Sunday afternoon. What a privilege it is to just be able to sing with the people of God every Sunday afternoon in this room. And Father, thank you for your precious word that we have so readily available to us at our fingertips, that we can read from and study from and treasure. But Father, as we think about this week and we think about the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, we must confess that so often we have been anxious. We have been filled with anxiety and worry. So, Father, forgive us of our anxiety and worry. Forgive us for our lack of faith and our unbelief. Forgive us for not trusting in your fatherly care for us. Father, not only have we been anxious, but many times our anxiety has given rise to other sins. So forgive us for all the other sins that have come from our anxieties, for our lack of caring and for our irritability and our covetousness and many other sins that have given rise from our anxieties. But Father, we are so thankful for the gospel, for the good news that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are amazed that our sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. And I pray, Father, that we would live in light of the good news of the gospel, that we would treasure the gospel, we would meditate upon the gospel day in and day out. And Father, I pray that we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Father, that from the moment we rise to the moment we go to bed, that we would be seeking to glorify you. Father, I pray for Mark as he gets ready to open up your word to us today. I just pray that you'd use him in a powerful way, and I pray that you'd come by your Spirit and you'd help us to be attentive to the preaching of your word, and you'd help us to apply your word to our lives. And Father, I pray as we get ready to sing that we would sing with joy in light of all that you've done for us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.